Here we go.
I want to make it for the show tonight.
We are.
Good to see you.
We are up to Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden? No, that was the Grand Eibshitz, which the Eibshitz Emden controversy was a big focal point. But we're up to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the person by himself, and then we're going to get everywhere else. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden was born in Germany. Rabbi Yaakov Emden was the son of Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi, as we say, the Sfardim and many people called him Chacham Tzvi. He was born in Germany, and like we try, we always do, where he was born in 1697 or 1698, okay? Again, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, yeah? So now, that means, where are we? We're about 50 years after Tach V'Tat, which Chmelnytsky and the Ukrainian massacres. And what else are we? We're not so far after Shabtai Tzvi. Yeah? Which again was a really big focal point of his father's battles. His father was the Rav in Amsterdam. His father was in Altoona. Then he went to Amsterdam. Then he went to London. Then he went back to Poland. Then he went back to Germany. And he was a tremendous, tremendous fighter against Shabtai Tzvi and the Sabbatian followers. Nechemya Chiyun made his way to Amsterdam, and he essentially caused the Chacham Tzvi to leave. Because the Chacham Tzvi sniffed something was off, and he started literally being roid of him. They wanted him out, and calling him out, and get him out of here, and he's the worst of the worst, and he, rightfully so, he was a Shabtai Tzvi follower. The Sfardim held otherwise, and we know that Amsterdam was split down the middle. It was a very large Sephardi kehila and a very large Ashkenazi kehila, and they held of him in such regard. That's why one of the reasons why he was Chacham Tzvi, because the Sephardim loved Chacham Tzvi, and he would not hear anything other than get him out of here. The Sephardi Rabbanim thought that he was a person of repute. Therefore, he ended up in a very, very uncomfortable situation. The Chacham Tzvi leaves Amsterdam. Now, where do we get all this information from about Rabbi Yaakov Emden? This is one of the easiest ones, because few Gedolim ever wrote an autobiography, as we mentioned many a time. Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote his whole life story, sometimes in shocking detail. Shocking detail. I just saw today, I was trying to look over a few things, I just saw today that it's tremendously explicit, and sometimes it's been already censored. Yeah? No, by a few publishers. Because I saw a reference. I saw Nechemya Chiyun was a person who showed up in Amsterdam, a follower of Shabtai Tzvi, who tried to darshan. He was separate. He was a separate person who the Chacham Tzvi took down, and just giving backdrop the Shabtai Tzvi. Supposedly, in retrospect, they said, the Chacham Tzvi was right, it was spilled milk. He already left and ran to London, went back to Germany. But yeah, many people, right? This is what we always said. It's so easy to sit here in 2023 and say, how could they not have seen the writing on the wall? But when you're in it, it's much harder. So, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes an autobiography, and the whole beginning of it is about his father, and then it goes into all of his yichus, and then it goes through his whole life. Now the question is a big why. Why did he write this? Lots and lots of conjecture. No one can say with conclusivity why he wrote it. He wrote it the first year into the Eibshitz Emden controversy. What do you know, right? How do you... what are the chances, right?
There are other Rabbanim that did it also, right?
Name me.
So, by Lubavitch, right? Then the Free Rabbi keep the whole thing of...
He published a diary? He published...
Yeah, tons of them. A whole Vat series. And I know also I'm reading, what's his name?
And he walks you through every ailment he had and how he was feeling.
Arya Levin also.
Simcha Raz
biography. No, but Simcha Raz, his own writings.
No. And he tells you what he felt, and every.
It goes from his diary, and he writes.
Okay. Like, the Chida wrote a diary as well. The Chida wrote a diary. Okay. Okay. Wait. Let's put it in perspective. Yeah. So we're sitting here for almost a year. How many Gedolim lived from the time that we have written word until now? And how much are we struggling to find? 3, 4? So it's definitely not common. But yeah, 100%. We could definitely... fine, I won't say such a bold sweeping statement. There are a few, and this is one of them.
Is it flattering of him?
No. It's not flattering of him at all. Which is one of the reasons why they claim that there's no reason to second guess the veracity and the validity of what he says, because when you write that, you know, everyone could see the book for themselves. We're not gonna give examples. When you write certain things that are just, you know, as what we would term in our sprach nowadays, TMI, yeah? When you write certain things of that ilk, so yeah, why would he lie about other details? It's not like he's trying to paint himself in the...
Why? That would be a great way to...
Okay, that's if you're really, really manipulative and trying to, yeah. It's a big cost. Your pride is a big, big cost. So, yeah, most people. Anyway, so he was born in Germany. He says, he makes references that his father was extremely busy. And by the time he was 3, he was sent off to learn by a Malamed. And he says not such positive things about it. He says, and his father supposedly had regrets, and none of my siblings got that after me. But he lived in Germany. His father, then he moved to Amsterdam. He watches his father go through these fights against Shabtai Tzvi followers, which definitely could have shaped his perspective. By the time that's 12 years old. By the time he's 12, they already moved to London. He's, again, never in a formal yeshiva setting. Which is fascinating. There's always a cloys, a yeshiva somewhere. In Prague, there were yeshivas from the times of the Marshal.
How old is
he? 12? That's it. He was sent at 3 to Malamed. He was definitely a capable young boy. And he, his father dies when he is 15, 16. Now he writes about himself. Yeah, which again, I don't like to translate into English. He writes about himself, about his struggles, his emotional turmoil that he went through. In Svarim, they'll call it Marashchira. He talks about his father, that he went broke, he got cheated. And his father, when he was born, this is what he writes in the book, his father was MIA. He was totally missing. He had to go to not a resort, but just to regain his emotional state. He was so downtrodden, and he got the news that he had a son. He came back and he did the bris, and he was in a better place. So that was just. And he writes about all these turmoils and hardships that he went through over his life. He definitely had a hard life. Another fascinating part about his life, it's heart wrenching, is that he had 3 wives. That's not the heart wrenching part necessarily. Although, if you read the book, see what he has to say. That's an aside. He had 20 children from 3 of these wives, and he buried 16 of them. Yeah, these are numbers that none of us can relate to in the slightest. And you hear a person who says they lost 1 child, and many of us may know people who've lost a child, and no one could say a word. If you lose 16, yeah, you hope you never spoke. You never had the ability to utter words. It's something that no one could really relate to. So he definitely had a lot of trials and tribulations. So where are we? By the time he's 15, he's answering tshuvas. There's a whole shaila about... we're probably going to have a part 2, don't worry. There's a whole shaila about... What was the case? What was the context of the Shaila? The Shaila was sent to Chacham Tzvi, and he wasn't able to answer it. So his son Yaakov picks up a pen and starts writing a tshuva. He was 15. Not too shabby. And his father sees it and says, yeah, I'm signing off. This is a great tshuva. And this was one of the first tshuvas in his tshuva sefer, the She'elas Yaivetz. She'elas Yaivetz who was penned by the Yavetz. So that's at 15. He gets married by the time he's 17, which we mentioned last week, right? Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz was 15. Did we mention that last week? Right? He was 15 when he got married. So Rabbi Emden, you know, he was already over the hill. He was 17.
He made up for it.
So that was his first marriage was at 17. And then he moved to the city of Emden. And that's where he gets his name, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Yeah? Yavetz, he always signed Yavetz because that's his father told him that you should sign Yavetz. Yaakov Ben Tzvi. Yeah? It's also an allusion to there was a person, Yavetz Anach, Asniel Ben Kenaz. I don't even know this. I saw this in Sfarim. So someone help me out. Someone help me out. Yeah, Asniel Ben Kenaz had a. He makes a reference to it in one of his farm when the intro to Sheilas Yavetz, why he wanted to go and... No, everyone could look it up tonight. Who was Yavetz? There's a person in Nach named Yavetz who he was basing his name off of as well, but his father told him that, you know, you should sign off Yaakov Ben Tzvi, and that was his name, Yavetz. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden was from the city of Emden. Emden is a city in Germany. He was the Rav in Germany for 3+ years. And that was the extent of his rabbinic career. That was it. 3 years in Emden. He never had a pulpit after that. Never. He wrote tremendous amount of Svarim. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He did business. He did business. He did some trading. He writes countless times. He got cheated countless times by a group of Hungarians, by a group of Germans. He was not necessarily the savviest businessman. He writes it himself. And he wrote Sfarim. He actually...
People kept sending him Shulos, Shilos, even though he wasn't a rabbi, or...
That's an excellent question. How to get to him? So he definitely...
He recognized as a rabbinic figure, even though he didn't have a pulp.
So, supposedly he was the greatest. So if you look in Siman Reish Mem Beis, no, that's Trumas Hadeshen, and no, that's not the case. So this is okay. First of all, regarding Hoira, we just spoke about this recently about what does it mean to be Higia Lo Hoira, and what is Smicha, and what's the function of it, and Ayin Yerdei Siman Reish Mem Beis, fascinating stuff. Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Poiskim, about what does it mean? Someone who's Higiel or Hira and doesn't paskin, the Gemara says terrible stuff on such a person. So, Rabbi Yaakov Emden definitely was Higiel or Hira, and that allows you to go and paskin. Now, they say he has to have yeshiva, which also is very interesting when you apply the things you find in Siman Reish Mem Beis to modern day smicha. We'll talk about it a different time. It's definitely a great conversation piece. Yeah. Fine, but we'll do that after we finish Klalim. We'll go into the background of Smicha, what it means and what's it worth today, and the Smicha controversy and so many good things to talk about. So, where are we? So I don't know why, how he gained the acclaim to be the address of Shilas. No, that was in the beginning. But he moved back to Altoona where his father was the Rav, and as we mentioned before. When Reb Katzen Ellenbogen, the Rav of Shtot, the Rav of the community, died, and Reb Yaakov Emden did not see eye to eye with him, he was not tapped to take over his father's position. They brought in Reb Yonasan Eibshitz, and he says that we had nice relations with each other, and we got along in the beginning, until he felt that he was an existential threat to Klal Yisrael at large. Right? And therefore, he had to come out against him, and with every weapon, well, slightly not so amicable. That's a nice way to say it, yeah? But, okay, so that's just like basic history, okay? Now, where did he live for most of his life? For a lot of it, he went on journeys. He actually tells you he went on a few journeys. He was away from home, and he went to Amsterdam, and he got sick, and he had this ailment, and he broke his leg, and he was sledding, and the sled, there was no space on the sled, and his foot was hanging out, and it got stuck on ice, and he broke his leg. every little detail. He's going through every little bit, which is so fascinating to go and learn about a gadol. He was a gadol. He was a gadol. So then he winds up in Altoona for most of his life, and that's where this all goes down. The controversy between him and Yonis and Eibschitz. But one thing, before I even get further, and with this we'll probably close, one thing is, there are a few people who wrote on as many topics as he did. Halacha, Maruk Tzia. Well, I guess next week we'll have to get to, there's a great Hakdama in Maruk Tzia, and there's some Hakdama to She'ilas Yaivitz. Maruk Tzia is a pirush on the tour, ironically, it's on Shulchan Aruch, it's on the tour. He has Agoyis on Shulchan Aruch as well, and this is one of his main halachic works. He has Agoyis on everything. He has Agoyis on Shas, he has Pirushim on Shas. He has Shtiklach Torah drushes that he gave. I guess it was in Emden or elsewhere. They actually opened up his own shul in Altoona because he wasn't allowed to daven anywhere else. When the controversy broke out, because he was going against the Rav of the whole town. So he made his own house minion. I mean, it's a very sensible thing. Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz was the Rav of all three towns, and there's a person of erudition who goes and says the worst things possible, that he is a pure apikoros. Oh, so we'll send you the past weeks, and we're going to get into it probably next week. A little bit what he felt and how he went about it. So yeah, I guess he had his house minion. He spoke probably to him. I don't know when he spoke, but he wrote on Medrash. He wrote a full pirush on Mishnayis. His siddur is still learnt till this day. His siddur of the Yaivitz is like a staple. It's a staple. Shari Shemayim and whatever. It has two names. Shairachamim. No, but what's the safer? There's a general name for the siddur, and then each one has it. There's two volumes. The siddur is still learnt. What else do we have? We have Shailas Yaivitz. Those are his tshuvas. 100-something tshuvas. They're reprinting them now. Machon Yerushalayim is still reprinting Shailas Yaivitz, brand new. And what else? Oh, Pirusham. Hagoyis on the Medrash. Yeah? It's not too shabby. He definitely was. He wrote something 30-plus Svarim in his life, and then tens of Svarim against Shabtai Tzvi and his followers. And that's what we brought in weeks past. He has a full sefer explaining how terrible they are and using every name he could think of to describe them because they are really a sakana. Really a sakana for Klal Yisrael. So this is the beginning. This is part one of Rebbe of Emden. He definitely was a gadol Talmud Chacham par excellence. In Ivrit, his ofi, anyone? His persona. It's a persona. It's but it's deeper than that. Your ofi is your. Come on, help me out. It's like an essence, right? His ofi has definitely been explored, and
his energy
has definitely been explored. What was it all about? What made him tick? And how did he tick? And we'll continue next week, part two.
Sure. Sure.